special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District. It's April 16th. It is 8 minutes after 2. I do want to let everybody know that all the proceedings of this public portion of the meeting will be tape recorded. The way we're going to set it up today is we're going to take the roll call. We're going to have public comments on matters that are on this agenda. And then and on the public agenda will be a report from staff regarding police coverage in Kensington in this period of time. And then we're going to move to a closed session. And we'll take public comments prior to the closed session. And we have three items on the closed session. They're all identical: public employee discipline, dismissal, and release. So first we'll start with the roll call. Director Toombs?
Here.
Director Kosel?
Here.
Director Wright is here. Director Kimball?
Here.
Director Mahmoud?
Here.
We are now going to move to public comments. And per our policies, we are going to allow 5 minutes for each public comment, and overall 20 minutes. If it looks like we need to go beyond that, we'll consider that. If I could ask somebody here to keep track of the 5 minutes as people speak, so that I'm not constantly on my watch, I'd appreciate it.
Stephanie, can you do that?
Well, Stephanie will be taking minutes. Okay. So, Cindy?
I can do that. I fall back there, I suppose. Yeah.
Just let me know. And then I do, because of the nature of the items on our agenda today, I just want to read one section here regarding our public comments for our policies. And that's: no oral presentation shall include charges or complaints against any district employee, regardless of whether or not the employee is identified in the presentation by name or by any other reference, which tends to identify. All charges or complaints against employees shall be submitted to the Board of Directors under the provisions contained in this, in our policies. And if you want, we can make those provisions available to you. Basically, they call for submitting written complaints to our general manager. So with that, I'm going to open it up to public comments. Please raise your hand if you'd like to make a comment.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes.
I am very happy to see that this special meeting has been held at a time when all 5 board members can be present. And give me my additional minutes to somebody else.
Okay. Are there any other public comments?
Valerie Paola. Over the last few days, officers have showed up at my home and shared, I believe, to be confidential information about other officers. There was complaint that there is no leadership from the board and no leaders for the officers. They want to know where they go to find leadership. There is confusion about the agenda. The officer stated it is about the officers who did not follow protocol for calling in sick. He went on to tell me to back off and support the chief for the next 4 to 6 months, and I will see change in the police department. No matter what goes down today, this is by no means micromanagement, but accountability. I urge the board to insist on a hiring freeze until further investigations. There's enough nepotism in this police department as it stands. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
John and I wrote this together. He wanted to come from me to you. I
as a board meeting. So I'm going to introduce you to our members. Dear board members, following an extensive search in 2006, in which the KPP CSD board thoughtfully defined the qualities they sought in a new chief of police general manager, this board hired Greg Martin. Because of pre-existing issues within the police department, one of the specified qualities was the ability to make difficult and unpopular decisions. Since I wrote this, I've been corrected. Apparently, the exact wording was the ability to make tough and unpopular decisions. Chief Harmon inherited some well-established and thorny personnel problems, and he has had to make some very tough and unpopular decisions. I encourage you to support Chief Harmon in these decisions. John and I have been impressed with Greg Harmon's work as a police chief, and we observe in him a chief considerably more experienced and adept at police work than his predecessors. Several events come to mind in which he brought out the best in his team and achieved laudable results. The Blankenberg case, the Mechanics Bank work, the rash of home invasion front door smashings, to name a few. Precisely what we wanted when we recruited him. For the general manager element of the job, Mr. Harmon has faced a steep learning curve, but he is making notable progress. When he was hired, the board promised to help train him with the GM aspect of the job, because everyone was aware that he lacked this type of experience and would likely require extra training. In our opinion, he has mastered a great deal during the first 18 months of his tenure here, all while working with some very challenging problems that had been plaguing this department for years before his arrival. We hope that he receives proper credit for his achievements on this front. As you are all aware, the current board is working through its own process of learning to govern. Supporting a board in this stage of development cannot be easy for anyone. It occurs to us that if the board chooses to terminate Greg Harmon, then what truly capable candidate would be willing to sign off for this job? Should we be unfortunate enough to lose the chief of Mr. Harmon's caliber, Kensington will surely stigmatize itself, and the resulting reputation is likely to put most qualified candidates well beyond our reach. If this board thinks that contracting with El Cerrito for police services would solve all its police issues, please think again. Once the board contracts, it will lose control over police costs as well as personnel and management. The KPPCSD board will have no say whatsoever in the selection of an El Cerrito police chief. And if the board winds up with a community that is dissatisfied with the police services provided, then how will the board persuade residents to raise the police tax when the inevitable occurs and El Cerrito is obliged to increase its fees? The board will be faced with having to cut back on the number of patrol officers, and the community is likely to experience slower response times and possibly even higher crime rates as well. I see this as the quality of life in Kensington declining. Your actions will have a lasting impact on Kensington. This is a time to act very thoughtfully. Objectivity is essential. We trust that you will make the right decisions. Thank you.
Thank you.
She writes, "I wish to go on record stating that I support the police chief. To my knowledge, he is to be commended for bringing leadership and reorganization to the department during the year and a half that he's been here, Natalie Salsic." Now for my own statement. As far back as 2004, I began hearing about complaints of interpersonal conflicts within the police department. From July 2006 until August 2007, Interim Chief Brown Taylor provided consulting services to the district. Shortly after he left, Chief Taylor issued a summary report. In it, he wrote, quote, "There exists in the organization interpersonal conflict between individuals. This conflict certainly impacts the good order of daily operations," end quote. In August 2006, I was invited by the Services District Board to participate on the ad hoc committee to replace Barry Garfield, to find someone to replace Barry Garfield. Among the things the committee did to prepare for the search was to interview police officers to find out what they wanted in a general manager, chief of police. Members of the committee, myself included, interviewed several of the officers. Among the qualities that these officers said they wanted was a chief who would be, quote, "a disciplinarian when required," end quote. Among the qualities that the ad hoc committee identified that it wanted, based on community input, was the following. Quote, "We'll make tough and sometimes unpopular decisions in a timely manner. Knows it is more important to be respected than to be liked," end quote. This committee vetted several search firms and recommended two for the board's consideration. The board chose Ralph Anderson and Associates, which is headed by a woman. As part of its process, the search firm looked inside our own department to determine if someone within our own ranks qualified for the position of chief. No one did. The search firm then solicited applications from all over the country. Over 100 applications were received, and the search firm whittled this list down to 5 candidates for the ad hoc committee to interview. During these interviews, the problems within the department were openly discussed, as they had been written about in board minutes and issues of the Outlook. The ad hoc committee made it clear that the district was looking for someone who was interested in staying in the COPGM position for about 10 years, and that addressing the interpersonal problems was something that the hired candidate was going to need to deal with. Chief Harmon was one of 3 candidates that the committee recommended to the board and the one chosen by the board. With 25 years of experience in the Daly City Police Department, a Bachelor of Science degree in Small Business Administration, and a Master's degree in Public Administration, Chief Harmon was a standout. When interviewed, he spoke warmly about those who reported to him and of his family, and he spoke passionately about his work. Chief Harmon has inherited a long-standing problem, and interpersonal conflicts predate his hire by many years.
And you have 15 seconds.
He has done the job we as a community asked him to do, to make tough and sometimes unpopular decisions in a timely manner. He has been compelled to conduct internal investigations because it's part of his job. He doesn't get to choose. Does he get to pass on an internal investigation because a popular officer is involved and there might likely be a political backlash that could cost him his job? Absolutely not. Not only has he done the job that we asked him to do, he's done the job that the officers said that they wanted him to do.
Thank you very much.
My name is Vita Doro, and I've been a resident of Kensington since 1973. I've had the pleasure of working with and knowing 5 chiefs. I used to be the volunteer crime prevention officer under 3 of them. And as a quiet citizen of Kensington, I can tell you that we go to bed at night feeling a lot more comfortable knowing that Chief Palmer is here. And frankly, and personally, I think that rather than terminating the chief, perhaps some of the board members should entertain the thought of resigning, or maybe some of us quiet citizens would seek termination of their position. Thank you.
Require officers who had written the board present asking time with you in closed session to discuss personnel matters to come to an open public meeting to make a sensitive request that they had already made by confidential letter. There is in the board policy handbook a provision for officers to be able to bring matters to the board's attention when all other avenues for addressing issues have been exhausted. However, the protocols for exactly how this extraordinary provision would work have never been codified to my knowledge. Clearly, this message was delivered without the knowledge of a fair number of board members. And that concerns me really deeply because it would appear that policy has been made. There's precedent, now there's policy without any board process, and usually it takes two readings of a change in policy publicly for policy to be changed. As a result of this requirement, officers appeared publicly in open session and publicly put their careers on the block. I do not know how anyone could be so naive as to believe there would not be retaliation unless the purpose was to give public justification for retaliation. My hope is that you will have a searching discussion today in your closed session. I also think you need to grant these officers a chance to speak before you, and be questioned by you in closed session. In this extraordinary time, you need to hear them out for the sake of the officers, the health of our police department, in the Kensington community. Thank you.
My name is Henry Schiff. I was appalled that I couldn't figure out what grade the president of the board was, second or third, when he allowed the officers, five of them, to come in to speak their piece and request a meeting because they obviously felt stressed and discomfort. And then to turn them away when there was community outrages during that meeting. I just can't fathom. And I appreciate you looking at me today, not lying. Thank you. Greg Carmen, he was hired to balance a budget and repair a broken police department. That hasn't happened. It's had a year and a half. One of the officers yesterday on Arlington I had a dialogue with indicated, just hold on, a month and a half more, I'll take care of everything. That's disturbing. Of over the 10 years that I've been in Kensington, this is the first time that I've showed up. And I'm just appalled. The gossiping from the officers and the street talk. Police officers are looking for new jobs. Give them another month and a half. Officers are out of stress. Police department needs to be turned over to El Salida. This is clearly a division. And you guys can actually do some real, real good here. And you can go into action today. And you can resolve this. Fred Hubbard might be a good man, but what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've felt, I have fear living in him. This is the first month in Kensington that I have locked my doors, and I have not traveled up to my Tahoe home because I'm afraid to leave my family and my kids. Disabled kids. I have a daughter that can't even tell time, and she fears the Kensington police. She fears having to navigate and walk down to the bus stop. She's intimidated. I urge you, seriously, to go into a meeting today and dissolve the GM chief position. So there is accountability, and the community will have an option if they do have a complaint, not to dredge your emails and comments and bug the board. And so we have a general manager go to and let him police. Obviously, we have a problem. Here we are revisiting this again. We are revisiting what happened in the past. Is it going to continue? I guess three strikes and you're out. You got one more chance. Don't let it get to that point. Fiscal responsibility, let's talk about numbers. You're not going to raise taxes on Kensington residents. And that's the only alternative I see for this chief. I could balance your budget. If there was a difference, I would personally pay the difference. That's how common. Let the GM do his job. Let the police do his job. We actually have no police coverage on the streets of Kensington today. Is that correct, Mr. Hall?
That's incorrect.
Okay. Well, you're not on the streets of any room. So here's my whole point. There is not one police officer out there. When I walk in this room, I ask Mr. Hall. He said, well, he's here. He's not on the streets of Kensington. To reiterate, urge of action, break up the position. Service is no longer needed by the chief. It's at will. It's a no-brainer. You don't even have to explain yourself. It's an at-will contract. And please, please, for those officers that you're not ready to discipline, that have given you more time than Harmon has on the streets dealing with our kids, our seniors, and our community.
Mr. Chief,
okay. Avoid fiscal irresponsibility. Avoid lawsuits. You're going to bankrupt Kensington. You will bankrupt Kensington with litigation. Thank you.
Away from conjecture and try to deal with what I believe to be my own opinion of facts. I have a 25-year background in human resources management, specializing in issues of motivation and wrongful termination, and that's why people ask me to come and speak. I think I've seen reports. I don't know the facts. I'm starting to imagine what's going on here. But I would say if there exists a report that was done by an outside counsel, attorney, investigation of the hospital environment, it's very important for the board to hew to those findings and not interpolate. I think it's very important to support the chief in the implementation of recommendations in that same report. If there are any disciplinary actions indicated in that report, including management, those actions should be based upon facts and nothing other than facts. Anything less would open the board members individually. Perhaps if they have made a management mistake, it would be covered under errors and omissions, possible. and the community to further litigation. I think we've all had enough of that over the last 2 to 3 years. In terms of these rumors that I've been hearing, if it's true that individual staff members in the police department have been coming to the board outside of due process and an established grievance process, if that's true, I think you would agree that that's really unacceptable and cannot continue. Staff really needs to follow the grievance process. Individual board members should refrain from actions which may seem sympathetic and kind, but in actuality break an established policy like the grievance policy. Please don't do that if it is happening, because again, you expose the community to litigation. I agree with Kathy Stein's comment about the issues of job search for a future chief, all those matters. I don't want to repeat that. I think it's very important that we quickly put whatever these issues are to bed. I know we have budget issues and other serious matters, core mission matters to take care of. So I encourage you folks to expedite the resolution of whatever this is going, whatever's going on. Comment from just general employee management strategy. If the board goes outside of findings and makes a decision to remove the manager for anything less than clear, well-defined problems, you may undermine the authority of that manager. It's very important to understand that when you make a management decision to terminate somebody, the world is watching. The subordinates are watching. If the rule of order is broken, if you undermine the authority of the manager, it's possible that you might reward misbehaving employees that remain. If that's the condition, you continue to have problems. In fact, you will encourage further difficulties on the part of any staff that may be misbehaving. And again, I couch this in the words maybe, because I don't know what's going on. But as a rule, please make the distinction between facts, findings, and any speculation. I appreciate your help. Please remember, it's not a personality contest. I imagine a chief's job is very, very difficult. I can't imagine by definition that it's popular. So please support our chief. Thank you.
Are there any other comments?
Good afternoon. My name is Hussein Khan. I'm a 12-year officer of the department. I have 7 years of service, 3 different departments. Talk to chief. And there is an agreement procedure for everybody in the department. We have a policy and we have a memorandum of understanding. People can complain, but the bottom line is what's going to happen when things get tough. What you want is you want your police officers, firefighters, and people in the military to show up. Right now, as 3 years ago, we're down to 5 officers. Again, there are only 5 officers and the chief of police that are showing up to work. And what you have to wonder is what's going to happen when something more serious happens. Mr. Schiff, lock your door, but you're safe in this community. And you're safe in this community because Sergeant Hull, Officer Barrow, I, and the 2 graveyard officers are showing up every day. And we're going to show up no matter what happens because we have a commitment to this department. We have a commitment to you, whether or not we disagree with you. And we certainly have a commitment to this chief. This chief is not the problem. He inherited the problem. He's just getting over the learning curve of the job. He's got probably the toughest job because we are such an open community. We are such an educated community. You need, in my opinion, and it's my opinion alone, you need to support the man and let's get on with this job, get the personnel decisions and problems worked out, and then move on and do community service. Thank you.
Thank you.
folks. I would just like to emphasize the point that when you're looking for fairness and you're operating inside of a cauldron of secrecy, innuendo, gossip, and a whole bunch of, from what I hear, is just rumor, because a lot of this is private stuff that can't apparently be revealed, has to be taken into private session to be discussed, you get real problems. How do you address that? You address it through process. That's the way the law operates. That's the way the grievance procedures operate. That's what President Obama is talking about transparency and openness. You have to sometimes achieve it through process. In this case, apparently processes were followed. There were investigations by impartial parties. I too urge you to follow the process, follow the grievance procedure, and do not disregard the findings of third parties who were put in that position to take out the passion, the prejudice, the bias, and the unhappiness in order to find the facts. I support the chief because I think he came into a difficult job in a department that I don't think is making us proud at this point with all the snapping and snarling. It sounds like Reno 911 to me. It's ridiculous. We pay a good penny, and we ought to get the service that these gentlemen are providing to us and saying that they're committed to providing. I'm very upset about this because we're not getting the facts from this board either. I understand constraints, but we're not even getting a good summary out of you folks. All we're getting is subrosa stuff. Observe the procedure, follow the grievances. If the findings are that your chief is okay, support the guy. That's what I have to say.
Hello, my name is Deborah Long. As a parent, I just want to express my appreciation to Chief Harmon and to you, his employers, for the support the Chief and the Kensington Board have given the local youth organizations. I have had personal contact with Chief Harmon, and I feel he is a positive role model and has gone an extra mile to extend himself to the community and beyond. Thank you.
No further public comments. We are now going to move into report from staff regarding coverage.
There's a page 69 and page 73.
69 and 73. Okay, I have 569.
I have 573.
Let's say.
Okay. I didn't want to.
69 and
73. And
one page 69.
I have both.
One page 73.
Okay,
yeah. Different weeks.
One page 69 and one page 73. You got it? I got two. What I'm passing out to the board is our patrol schedule. It starts on April 5th, and it actually carries through May 2nd. And I've been requested to provide the board and the public our staffing levels for, I guess, the last several days. I'm going to start with Saturday, April 11th. Because that's when we kind of deviated from what our normal staffing would have been. If you could follow along on page 69 for the board members.
What occurred is I came in Saturday morning, that's April 11th, and I had a meeting with one of the officers that was working. Following my meeting, I contacted a supervisor and requested that that supervisor report to work. I returned to the district along with that supervisor early Saturday afternoon, and we went on patrol. I was notified by the officer that was working at the time that he would be leaving the district at 14:30 hours, which is 2:30. And at the time he left, he informed me that he would not be coming in the following day for his scheduled shift. The supervisor and myself worked until the graveyard officer came on at 8 o'clock. And that graveyard officer worked until the end of his shift the next morning, which was Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I arranged coverage to have an officer come in because I was notified on Saturday that the normal day watch officer would not be coming to work Sunday. That same officer also notified me that the supervisor that was due on Saturday and Sunday would not be coming into work. Sunday, our coverage was I had an officer working in the morning who I joined at 11, and I worked with him till 2. A supervisor came on at 3 o'clock and worked till 1 in the morning along with a graveyard officer that came in at 8 o'clock that night. So staffing as far as Saturday goes, we had one officer on till 11. Then we had three officers working from 1 to about 2:30. And then from 2:30 to 7, we had two officers. From 7 to 8, there was one officer available, and then from 8 to 1 in the morning, we had two officers again. And then from 1 in the morning till 6 in the morning, one officer. That's our normal graveyard shift. Sunday morning, we had one officer in the morning, which I joined around noontime, 11 o'clock. So the two of us worked till 2. Supervisor came in at 3. We had two people on the street at the time. Supervisor stayed to 1 in the morning when he was joined at 8 o'clock that night by the officer. So from basically 11 in the morning till 1 o'clock in the morning, we had two officers on the street at all times, and the other time we had one officer on the street. At no time during Saturday or Sunday was the district uncovered. Monday, April 13th, we had normal staffing, our normal scheduled staffing, until the graveyard officer didn't show up for work. There was no notification, so we just extended coverage and covered that shift. No time during Mondays on April 13th has there ever been no coverage on the street. We went from one officer from 6 in the morning until 11 when the second officer joined them, and we had two officers, well actually three if you count me, on the street until 8 o'clock that night when we had two officers until the early morning hours again. Tuesday, we made arrangements to have, once again, complete coverage. We had at least one officer on at all times, and at times we had two to three officers during the day. Tuesday evening, the officer scheduled to work, once again, did not show up, and his shift was covered. The same scenario occurred on Wednesday the 15th. We had, at one point, in the early morning hours, we had one officer available, then two, then four, then two, and then finally at the graveyard hours, we had one officer available. Once again on Thursday, the district was completely covered. On Wednesday, the district was completely covered. The other issue that happened on Wednesday, Wednesdays are our double shift day when both teams work. We had a second officer fail to show for work for the morning shift, and that was followed by a supervisor that failed to show for work for the afternoon shift. However, once again, it was completely covered, and at no time was the district uncovered. Now, it brings us to Thursday. We've actually gone to 12-hour shifts. All vacations have been canceled for those that had scheduled vacations after Friday the 10th. And we're currently working 12-hour shifts, which gives us coverage, one officer from 6 in the morning until noon, two officers from noon to midnight, and then one officer from midnight to 6 in the morning. We plan on staying on the 12-hour shifts through the end of this situation. Page 73 has a patrol schedule for Sunday the 19th through Saturday, May 2nd. As you can see, we're working 12-hour shifts with 12 periods of time, that 24 hours, two officers on duty at the time. Those are our busiest times of service, from noon to midnight. And once again, I just want to state that through all of this, at no time has the district been not covered. The officers have come in when requested, and they've stepped up, and everything's been covered.
Okay, great, thank you. I think some of the board members, we're going to have some questions about this, but before we do, I just want to state that I very much appreciate the officers who put in some overtime to cover the shifts to make sure that our community was covered in this difficult time, so thank you very much. And others who aren't here, please let them know. I appreciate that. I also appreciate your work, Greg, being proactive on this. Some people don't know, but I got a call from Greg Saturday morning apprising me of some situation and that he was going to return to the district. He was going to cancel his vacation this week to make sure that we had full coverage, because despite all the issues going on in our district, I think Chief Harmon recognizes that the number one priority is to make sure that we have sufficient police services. So thank you for that. I'm going to open up to the board for questions. And I actually have a question about the schedule. Could you just let us know what some of these symbols mean? S-O-W-V.
O means regular day off. S would indicate sick. W would mean work. The time slots are, if there's any deviation from the normal schedule that you see over by the name, like give me an example, if under the chief says Harmon, 9 to 5, on the far left-hand side, if you go to Saturday, 4:11, there's an indication of 13:30 to 20:30, that means that I was actually working either an adjusted shift or when I shouldn't have been. And the only other indication on the chart there, V is for vacation, and we have AWOL, which means absent without leave.
W means, I'm sorry, W
again? AWOL means...
No, W, work.
Without? Oh, work, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, there's another indication there. R would stand for recovery time, which is what they call comp time here. And T is for training.
Okay, I'm going to open up the questions, Chuck.
Okay. I'd also like to thank the police chief and the staff for really duty above and beyond the call. We really appreciate that, keeping the community covered. I think you guys are doing very, very fine work. Thank you all. This is a great, it's a difficult time. Thank you for your support. I have one question on the AWOL. Does that mean that the people didn't call in, they didn't give an excuse, they just didn't come to work?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions, Chuck?
No, that's fine. I'm sorry.
Other questions? No?
I'm a little bit confused. You said that an officer like went home, and you said you were informed that they weren't going to be coming in. Is that accounted for on certain days and not on others? Is that what you're saying?
In that particular instance I was speaking of was on Saturday, April 11th. I was informed by the officer that he would be going home at 14:30 hours, which was 2 o'clock. His normal scheduled time to get off duty was 4 o'clock. He informed me at that time that he was going home and he would not be in the following day.
Thank you.
No more questions. I just would like to give great blessings to the officers who are here and on duty. We are eternally grateful. We are mindful that you guys stood up for us 3 years ago, that you're standing up for us again. It goes beyond. Thank you.
You know, I would reiterate my thanks to you guys for being available to us. Greg, I have a couple questions. Did you receive no notification from President Wright on Saturday the 11th that these officers would be out?
Is that a question for me?
Well, I'll ask you, either one of you.
I was notified by Chief Harmon that an officer called in sick and he was going to make sure we got coverage.
Yes.
Okay. And then I'm sorry to ask this question, but this is a serious matter and we need facts. On Tuesday the 14th, I called the district office at approximately 2:30. Stephanie answered. I asked to speak to you, and she said you were on vacation and weren't expected in for the rest of the week. Maybe within half an hour, I received a call back from Andrea that said you were on your way in.
I hadn't been notified at that point. I was completely unaware of what had transpired. I don't work weekends, so mm-hmm. I had no idea what had transpired over the weekend.
Okay, that was on Tuesday, and it was after the hour here that it says you were on duty. So,
can I?
Yes, please.
Respond to that?
Yes.
On Tuesday the 12th, I mean the 14th, I started at noontime and worked till 17:30 hours. I'd have to go check to see my schedule where I was at noontime, but I don't believe I got into the district until 2:30, at which time Stephanie informed me you had called and I returned the call. I really, off the top of my head, can't tell you what I was doing before that. I can check my schedule and report back to you. But
it's the only instance where I called the office, and I just wanted to know how accurate this reporting here was.
It's completely accurate. This is what we base our payroll on.
Okay. Thank you.
I also want to acknowledge you guys for coming in today. I would appreciate, I know in the flying industry it's really important if you get fatigued that you're able to tell your supervisors about that, and the schedule looks pretty rigorous for everybody and very different than what they've been doing. So I would encourage you that if you do have issues, that you would notify your supervisors and let them know so that we can cover the people that aren't perhaps exhausted. But thank you for coming in.
Okay, no further comments from the board. In our public comments earlier, I had mentioned that we were going to talk in public comments about the public item on the agenda, and then also we would also have an opportunity for public talk about closed items, and if there were public comments on that. It seemed like I think all of the comments we heard were related to the closed session. If anybody has not yet spoken, I would like to speak because they believe there was going to be another opportunity to speak regarding the closed session items. These items, namely the public employee discipline, dismissal, and release. Now would be an opportunity to do that. Is there anybody here who has not yet spoken and would like to speak?
I would like to
I'd like to speak before you go into that section. I just need 1 minute. I think it's very valuable.
Okay, we'll give you 1 minute.
My name is Henry Schaff, and out of the 7 people here that did not acknowledge the community, I would like to thank everybody that stood up and spoke. Appreciate the people that had concerns and support for the chief. And I am appalled at the board that will you recognize the community again. Bill. And keep in mind, a lot of people talked about procedures, policies, followed them, what George Bush did. And management, leadership, being a chief, particularly a GM, a business, a city, there is no policies and procedures to balance the numbers and to balance safety. It's personal experience. Either you have it or you don't. Chase, Merrill Lynch, we've seen it. That's what you need to understand, Board. It's okay, Bill and Chuck, that you made a bad decision. It's okay, I don't hold it against you. What's not okay is to correct the matter. And procedures. Procedures do not supersede someone's responsibility and not be known to do the job. Please do the right thing today for the community. Please. Thank you.
All right, thank you everybody for coming. We are now going to move into closed session, and when we're done, we'll report out any action if there is any action.